Peter, the new Jam Canada report is out for 2015, and there's some pretty interesting results in that. Perhaps you could tell me, first of all, what Jam is.
Yeah, Jam is the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, Cheryl, and it's the largest study of entrepreneurship in the world, covering about 60 countries. And it seeks to understand entrepreneurship from three particular points of view: the attitudes of the public towards entrepreneurship, the activity in each country, and the aspirations of entrepreneurs.
And do we compare ourselves to all 60 countries?
The data allows us to compare ourselves with all 60 countries on an apples-to-apples basis. But generally speaking, the more useful comparisons are with other developed countries like the US, Europe, Japan, Australia, those kind of countries.
So how do you gather this information?
Well, we do two things. The first thing is we do a survey of the Canadian population where we contract with a polling firm to ask 2,000 people across Canada a lot of questions. And the second thing we do is we contact 36 experts in different aspects of entrepreneurship, and we ask them a separate questionnaire to get the view of how the experts think we're doing.
And then how would this be used?
Well, it's used by policymakers in government and in the NGOs to figure out what they should be doing to try and increase the effectiveness of innovation and entrepreneurship.
And, you know, we seem to be talking so much these days about entrepreneurship and startup companies and that sort of thing. Why do you think that is?
If you look at the last few years, we've really had quite slow economic growth in Canada. I think a lot of people are looking towards entrepreneurship and innovation to try and, if you like, kickstart our economic growth. And I think that's certainly the way we look at it as well.
Well, let's look at some of the results from this last year's report. What would you say is the most outstanding result?
Well, definitely the most outstanding result is the fact that we are now ranked number one among all the developed countries for entrepreneurship. And this is the very first time we've been in that position. For the last couple of years, we've been number two or number three, mostly behind the United States. But this year, we have surpassed the U.S., and we have more entrepreneurs in Canada in startups than they have in the United States.
Now, what accounts for that?
Well, I think a big part of it is the fact that our rate of female entrepreneurship is much higher now than we've seen in the past, and it's much higher than other countries. In fact, if you look at the rates comparing males and females, the rate of female entrepreneurship is 84% of the male rate, and that's a lot higher than Canada in the past, and it's a lot higher than the United States, which is normally in the region of 60-65%.
Well, what do you think accounts for this huge jump over a year?
Well, we've asked ourselves that question. We don't have a real good answer at this point, but the data we collected for this report was really before the impact of the oil price. This data was collected in the middle part of 2015, so I don't think we can blame or thank the oil price for this, and what exactly the reason is, we are scratching our heads still on that one.
Do you think that it could be more support for women who are going into business or encouraging women to go into business?
There certainly is a growing amount of support and mentorship for female entrepreneurs, and it could well be that that's one of the factors increasing the rate of female entrepreneurship. That could well be.
Now, there's another term that is used in the GEM report, and that is intrapreneurship. What is that?
Well, if entrepreneurship is where you're just a private individual starting something up, intrapreneurship, otherwise called corporate entrepreneurship, is when you're starting new ventures inside an organization, whether the organization's a private sector company or an NGO like an airport authority or a government organization. But it's really looking at the entrepreneur's role in large organizations. And this is the thing that GEM has added to its battery of questions in the last couple of years, and we're finding it's giving very interesting information. In fact, for Canada, we do much less well on the intrapreneurship metrics than we do on the entrepreneurship metrics. And we're ranked number five or number six among the developed countries for intrapreneurship. And we're speculating that one of the connections is between our poor productivity performance and the low rate of corporate entrepreneurship, because we think those two factors might be related.
Well, in a sense, that's a real disconnect, isn't it?
Absolutely. One of the factors that is often talked about in this context is what's the corporate culture. Because many times corporations have quite strict rules about the way we do things. And it may be that starting new ventures is not always easy in big organizations. There are a lot of forces at work that impede that. And we think we see in quite a few cases, individuals gain a lot of experience in a large organization, and then they quit and they start up their own business using the knowledge they've gained. And being, if you like, unimpeded by the rules and regulations of the big organization.
Well, let's just explore this problem with productivity and innovation a little bit more, because certainly over the last few years, that is a continuous theme in the news and amongst policymakers. What are the sorts of things that you're seeing that might contribute to that?
I think the productivity performance is a fact, and there's a lot of speculation why that is. Canada's not unique in that respect. I think, generally speaking, the rates of productivity improvement have been declining in most countries for the last 20 or 30 years. The question now is what to do to try and turn that around. And we put in place a number of recommendations in the report, which I could maybe just touch on a couple of them.
Yes, please do.
So one of the things that we're very keen on is when we're putting in place support systems for entrepreneurship, to really think of the different categories of entrepreneurship. And the ones that we think are really important from the productivity point of view are those startup companies that have potential to scale up and become globally competitive. So one of our recommendations is to try and ensure that public programs and incentives are aligned behind the scale-up companies, as opposed to the small businesses, the one or two-man bands that are going to stay that way, which are useful in their own right, but they're not going to impact on the productivity metrics.
What do we really mean by productivity?
People think of it as the output per hour. It's how effectively we're using our resources. And it is affected by a lot of things, like such as education and the amount of capital we spend and how effectively we use information and communications technology.
And what other recommendations do you have around the innovation and productivity problem?
Well, there's one other very important way in which public sector can help innovation and entrepreneurship, and that is through their public procurement. Governments buy huge amounts of quantities. And if you look at some other countries, for example, the United States, they've been very effective at using public procurement to kickstart small companies. And we seem to be much less good at that in Canada. So I think to try and put some serious effort behind using public procurement to help entrepreneurship, that would be a very valuable thing. Another recommendation we put in is to try and develop some better metrics of scale-up. If you look at the economic metrics we got really good data on things like unemployment and gross domestic product growth, but we have very, very skimpy information on scale-up activities, how many startups we've got that actually grow. And people use the word gazelle, fast growth companies. We have very, very limited information from that, and I think the better quality information we have around these things, the more you can use that information as good evidence to create good policy.
I think one of the other things that would be helpful to know is how successful people are when they do go into business. How long do they stay in business?
Well, it's a very high-risk activity, and what we study in the GEM work is the actual startup itself. We don't follow how they progress after that. But if you look at the statistics, the number of startups are very high, and the number of ongoing businesses are much smaller. So there's obviously a very high failure rate among startup companies. And to some extent, that goes with the territory, because people are trying risky things, and they don't always have all the skills and knowledge required to do it. So it's not surprising that there's quite a high failure rate. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing, because it's showing that people are trying risky, high-potential things, and they don't always pan out.
Who is the most likely to be attracted to becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, we got a lot of information on that, the demographics of the entrepreneur. And first of all, the age group. Typically, in this report, we find that people between the ages of 18 to 55, the level is fairly flat. There's not an age group that's more or less liable to start up a company than others. If you look at gender, we've talked about the fact that females are 84% of the male rate. If you look at education, there's a very interesting finding there that, generally speaking, the level of entrepreneurship goes up with the amount of education, which is tending to tell us that people with more specialized skills see more opportunities to start up a business.
So just looking at education, quite often people will become entrepreneurs because they really have no other choice. But is this something that should be taught in schools so that as children graduate from school, they do have some basic idea of what it takes to be an entrepreneur?
Glad you raised that point. One of our recommendations is respect to the K-12 system and to try and increase the amount of education about, particularly about what we would call entrepreneurial thinking among the K-12, because the world is changing. And if you look at how the baby boomers lived, many baby boomers worked for the same company for many years or perhaps their whole career, and they never had to go around finding a new job. Now the world is changing, and we're finding that jobs are much more short-term. People use the term, there's much more outsourcing. People use the term the gig economy, and people require a different skill set in order to be successful in that environment. And we think that starting at the K-12 level would be a very valuable thing to increase people's awareness and give them skill sets that will allow them to be successful in that that kind of environment.
When you look at the rate of entrepreneurship across the country, is it the same or does it vary from province to province?
Well, generally speaking, it increases from east to west. So Alberta has a very high rate of entrepreneurship. And if you look at Atlantic Canada, where we're doing a special report this year, the rates of entrepreneurship are lower in the eastern part of Canada. However, one of the interesting findings is that if you look at the intrapreneurship, the corporate entrepreneurship, that's much more constant across the country. So it doesn't have the same kind of changes that the entrepreneurship rate has.
So, Peter, how do people get hold of this report?
Well, it will be available on our website, www.gemcanada.org, after May the 27th.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you.